As we continue as a church, discerning what the faithful path is for us right now in this season, we do have two scripture texts to read today. The first is from the book of Deuteronomy. I'll be reading from the 11th chapter, selected verses, starting with verse 18. You shall put these words of mine in your heart and soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and fix them as an emblem on your forehead. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandment of the Lord your God, but turn from the way that I am commanding you today to follow other gods that you have not known. Thus ends our first reading today. Our second comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew, from the 28th chapter, from the very last verses of the Gospel of Matthew. I invite you to stand in body or spirit as we receive the good news of Jesus today. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. You may be seated. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this beautiful Sunday, as we hear both the words of teaching to the people that God had called and rescued out of slavery in Egypt, of what it means to hold the very word of the Lord within their hearts, and also these very last words of Jesus, how they are so important to us as a community of faith. May we hear with open hearts and fresh spirits and open ears what you would have us hear this day. Holy Spirit, dance and delight amongst us. Open these words to us today that we may be more open and receptive and willing to go out into the world. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you this day, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So let's kind of situate ourselves a little bit. In August, started a very intentional worship series called The Faithful Path for Now, a resource written by Beth Christman in cooperation with United Methodist Foundation of the Western North Carolina, as a tangible resource for churches to say, what is God calling us to do right now? What is God asking of us to be faithful to the work and mission of God in the world, knowing and recognizing that church today looks so different than it has in times past? So we kind of reflected on that and realized that ultimately the foundation of all that we are called to do is rooted firmly in the belief and tangibility of the fact that God is a God of love, and that God's love is at the heart of Scripture and who we are called to be as a community of faith. That love is made manifest through Jesus Christ, love incarnate who walked amongst us, and it is our call to share that love out into the world. And so we reflect on that, right? And we also think, well, how do we share that love? And first, we need to stay in love with God. right? And there are a variety of ways that we can do that. We can do that as individuals in our own private devotion time. It can be in community, right? Like we come and we offer praise to God and recognize that, and we grow in recognition of that, and then we can take that out. And in that is this spirit of invitation, right? That love is not meant to be kept within, but also to be shared, to really think about who needs to know that God loves them. And that really forces us to think, who are our neighbors? And neighbors might be the very people who you live next door to or in community with. Or your neighbors may be, okay, well, Holly Springs, UMC Church is right here. Who surrounds this church? Do we know who lives here? And then neighbor can be much more expansive of recognition that all of the people have been created in the image of the divine, and they are all our neighbors. That God loves them just as God loves us, and we are called to love one another. But we don't always know that if we haven't grown up in the church, right? Or maybe we've dipped our toes in the waters of church, and maybe we've grown up in different traditions. And I want to be sensitive to that, right? Because it may be something of like, God is love, God is love. We need to go out and share God's love into the world. And you're like, but I don't know how to do that. Or I'm not comfortable doing that. Or what does that even look like? And for those of you who may know who what my story has been, be like, the true reality is I didn't grow up in the church. I mean, I went to Catholic church until I was 7 and then didn't go to church again unless a friend invited me in middle school or high school. And it wasn't until I became a college student and thinking about children of my own that said, you know what, I don't want my future children to live like I did without knowing what this looks like. And so I didn't know, and I kind of dipped my toes, and someone took me to church every Sunday, and I realized that this hole in my being and knowing who I was could only be filled with God. Recognizing that even God loves me when I didn't feel deserving of that love. And I wonder how many other people have experiences like that as well. I also recognize that there are some who have been in church their entire lives because that was the expectation, right? Your parents, every Sunday, get up, go to church, be in community, be in Bible study on Wednesdays. And it became your rhythm of life. And yet, even in the midst of that, you are called to dig deeper, to go through intentional spiritual formation, to grow closer to God and closer in community with other people. In the changing landscape of the world, the reality is that there are more nuns and duns who are our neighbors. And what I mean by that are nuns who don't want to have anything to do with the church or haven't had anything to do with the church. And duns are ones who have been in the church and said, I'm not doing that anymore. And that's usually because there's been some incident or multitude of incidences where there has been church harm to that person, that they say, well, you proclaim a message of welcome and hospitality and love, and yet your actions are so hypocritical to that message. The dissonance just doesn't work for me. And I know that God is wonderful, but I just don't like the religious institution and how it's manifested in the world. So those are your duns. Be like, I don't know that I want to have anything to do with that. And so for us, we have a lot of work as a community of faith to do to counter a lot of that, right? Because if we proclaim a message of love and welcome and hospitality, and then we go out and our actions show something completely different, then we are bearing false witness to what we claim to be at the heart of who we are. And we don't know that unless we are very mindful of what God has called us to do. How many of you know what the mission of the United Methodist Church is? Okay. Philip, what is it?
To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of
the world. That's right. To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And that make disciples of Jesus Christ comes from the very gospel text that we read today. So Jesus had suffered, died, resurrected, reappeared to his disciples, and gave these final instructions of what are we called to do. You are to go, therefore, and make disciples of Jesus, you know, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them my commandments. There's this idea of being sent with very clear instructions that Jesus had modeled and explained throughout his entire earthly ministry to the communities. When he said go, he sent out them two by two, right? And so a practice run of what it would mean to go and proclaim the good news and to engage and build relationships. And if there was no receptivity, Jesus said, knock the dust off your shoes, but continue to go and do what I've asked you to do. So we also are called to go and to baptize and to teach. And our so that, or why do we do that, is for the transformation of the world. Because ultimately, God wants full reconciliation of the brokenness of humanity and creation, which is made possible. This reconciliation is made possible because of Jesus and what Jesus has commanded us to do. And that reconciliation founded on God's love, it comes from these relationships, not only with us as a community, but beyond the walls of the church. And keeping in love with God and one, you know, in love with each other, to go out there. And man, that is overwhelming. So here's my question. If our mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, whose job is that? Thank you, John. It is everybody's, because I do not want you to say, well, it's Pastor Anita's job. It is all of our jobs. And we can also be very intentional about what that can look like, right? So here's the reality. I can name almost every single person in this room. And the only opportunity that I have to do intentional disciple making with you is when we're gathered in worship. But it is a one-way conversation. There isn't space for questions or dialogue or help me understand. I'm curious about, right? So we need to create spaces where we can actually have conversation and dialogue and ask those curious questions. Or I've really been wrestling with this. Or I wonder about that. So when I think about my role as the pastor, I have to be very focused about that disciple-making process, right? What does it mean for our church to invite people into relationship with Jesus, to grow in their faith, to take on this missional work and go out into the world? And we have to think about our spheres of influence. Who are the people immediately within my sphere of influence that I have the most impact with? We can look to Jesus as that model. Jesus had an inner circle. Does anybody know the names of the persons in Jesus' inner circle? Peter, James, John. Jesus spent a lot of time with Peter, James, and John. And then Jesus spent a lot of time with whom? The disciples, right? I gave you the, you know. And I want you to be like, I don't know what she's talking about. The disciples, the 12, and even as they traveled with Jesus, did they have all the answers? No. They're like, Jesus is teaching and preaching, and then they pull Jesus off to the side and they're like, hey, Jesus, what the heck did you just say? And I don't know about you, but I like to have space where I can say, what the heck did I just say? What did you say? What are we saying together? Right? And that disciple making happens in our inner circles, and it happens in our small groups. And that is how we structure ourselves as a church. So here's my question for you today. Who is in your inner circle? Who are those 3 to 4 people that you have constant contact with? There's space on your bulletin that you can take some notes and kind of think who those people are. And then who's that sphere of influence of 12 people? Right? A little bit farther out where you're reaching out. And you can think, wow, how do I do that? So here's the struggle. I know for me, I went to church because I wanted my children to grow up knowing about God. But church really was confined to 1 hour a week. That isn't the totality of how they can learn about God. The sphere of influence for my children was at home, and at school, and in their activities, right? So a lot of that responsibility falls on our family units and our community to help grow and nurture faithful disciples. Every person that we baptize, I get to be in conversation with. Be like, do you really know what this means? To be baptized, to be incorporated, to recognize of how God already loves the individual. And that there will come a day where that individual will recognize and know and claim God's love for themselves and offer their words of profession to say, hey, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. And if I'm going to follow you, then I'm going to follow you by going where you send me. That I'm going to go and baptize people who desperately need to know they are beloved children of God. That I'm going to go and share in my circle of influence how transformative God's grace is in my life and how it is already working in the lives of those I have contact with, even if they aren't aware of it. And I'm going to teach what I know, and I'm going to be willing to learn what I don't know. Because only in that intentional part of disciple making, of following Jesus, of claiming this commission, are we truly able to inscribe the words of the Lord on the hearts of all people. In Deuteronomy, we hear, put it on your door knobs. Put it on your doorposts. As you go out and you come in, remember that the Lord your God is your God. And we are called to love the Lord with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our spirits, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And if we hold that to be the foundation upon which we are a community, then we will go and proclaim the good news. Who's in? Who's with me? Yeah. So if you aren't in a small group yet, let's make that happen. I mean, I now have 14 women in my Bible study on Tuesday nights. There's room at the table. There's room for the disciple class. Come, learn about God's love and grow in following Jesus' teaching for us. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.